If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 233, coming to you from the bunker out here in beautiful Western Canada, where we are a little rainy today, and we are more than happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
Where I come from, rain's a good thing. I like what Clark did, or whomever, Tyler Dacu, maybe our social media advisor, saying, where are you checking in from today? I wish they would do that every day. We got Ottawa, we got Copper Sands, we got Regina. Let us know where you're watching from today, around the world and around the globe. It's a big day. Our football fans are going to be really excited about today. Because yesterday's show got away from us a little bit, and I apologize for that. It was a very interesting day. It wasn't bad or anything. It's just like, you know, we had the audio issues and the kinks. And we went from kind of a two-seater Cessna to the Millennium Falcon. In a day.
With no training.
With no training. And the only way to find out is when you are live. Good morning, Sherwood Park. Good morning, Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning all the way to Tacoma. From Middle Lake, Saskatchewan, we're viewers, we're global, baby. So anyways, there were some hiccups yesterday. And a couple segments left in the show. Clark comes out here and I'm like, what the hell's going on back there? And he turns red in the face and he's like, you have no idea what's going on back here. Well, just tell me and I'll tell them. We're all in it together. I need to know. So that was the deal. But we had some real pros on the air yesterday. And John Liu and Matthew Barnaby, guys have been on the air a lot. And they got it. And the clips turned out okay. The show turned out great.
Yeah.
But the guys, as we move along, the Millennium Falcon. Remember, you just go from gear one to gear two and it's...
Yep.
That's what we got coming here.
Oh, yeah.
So Clark's like, we got to go through some bumps to get to, you know, never land. So
grind the gears. If you can't find it, grind it, right?
If you can't find it, grind it. Yeah. So our guests today from the CFL on TSN and CTV Regina, Claire Hanna. Looking forward to guesting with Claire. Everybody loves Claire. Jermaine Franklin from TSN Calgary. Canadian Football Hall of Famer Damon Allen should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Should be. I'm not going to probably bring that up with Damon, but he should be.
Oh, yeah.
And the smiling one, Henry Burris, Henri, will be joining us from Ottawa to talk about the CFL. So, again, you football CFL lovers will love it. Sports fans in general will love it. But what we do here on this segment we call the Rollout for Flooring Superstores is cover everything. So are you ready to roll with the quick six show topics for today?
Let's go.
And I would really like to get into these topics at some point today because we won't have enough time here. But number one, Ontario MP Peter Fragicatos says no funding for U.S. players. Fragicatos. I married a Greek. It's the only way that I would know how to say that. But he's not representing the Greeks real good here. Point two, should major leaguers take a pay cut? Major League Baseball players, because you know what? They don't want to. You guys aren't looking real good right now. Point three, SJHL simulation last night. Thousands of people tuned in. Melfort beat Yorkton 1-0 in overtime on Adam Nome's OT winner. You only know who was paying attention, who was watching last night, right?
Yeah.
Chevrolet Canada. Good job, guys. That's what Chevy Canada told us yesterday. Reed Lowe, watching from St. Louis, the former NHLer in Minot Top Gun. It's taking over the world. The SJ Sim. So much fun. Point four, Gary Bettman. This came across my Score app this morning. Says, very optimistic they'll finish the season. Never considered that they won't. Do you think that that's just gobbledygook, commissioner speak for they don't want to worry anybody, so let's just do a smoke and mirrors thing?
I think it's real.
I hope it's real.
No, I think it's real. I think they, in their own world, and I think in those meetings and internally, they are 100% committed to finishing the season, and I think that's what they actually believe. I don't think they've gone down a path of if there's no season. I mean, if there's no season, now they're looking at starting next year. That's easy. I think they're going full steam ahead, expecting to finish the year. I really
beep,
do.
Beep, beep, beep. Backing up the truck here. Peter Hoosley writes in and says, did you say Damon Allen is not in the Hall of Fame? Wow. I said he's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is in Canton, Ohio, where his brother Marcus Allen resides. Damon's in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, and well, he should be, but he should also be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, most passing yards at one time in pro football. Now it's Anthony Calvillo. But no, I didn't say he's not in the Hall of Fame. He's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Can we put up the comment from Trent in Norway, by the way, and just give him some love? Clark says no. He says, so I'll read it off the wall what I see. Norway here. The hiccups with the new equipment will take care of themselves. And boom, it just went off the screen because we got too many comments coming in this morning. The SJHL wrote in. Here's the thing that I'm most proud of last night with the sim. The SJHL just wrote in and said, thanks for the love, boys. We had a little incident of bullying going on in the comments on the Twitch feed last night. And I appreciate, because the kid that was being bullied actually is watching this morning, because he's already written in. He goes, why are you bullying me? To the guy that was. And we just attacked the bully.
Yes,
right?
We did.
Like, get him out. Everybody turned on the bully. It was awesome. And then the SJHL guys that were running their feed said, hashtag be kind online. That was the proudest thing of the whole night. Never mind Chevy Canada writing it. Never mind Reed Lowe watching or the SaskTel reps, but to nip it in the bud, an incident like that. If yeah. it were only that easy in real life, because I'm sure to tell you, online life isn't real. But it made me feel good to help that kid.
And the whole group kind of policed the situation themselves. Right?
That's right. Awesome. That was awesome.
And they say we don't need a good enforcer.
Hey, Rod Monroe's watching. That's Clark's dad. And it's his birthday today. We won't say how old you are, Rod. I don't think you care. You don't seem like one of those guys to me. But I won't say it. Sean Dalwatt writes in from Saskatoon. He says, I saw the overtime call on Twitter, and it was the best thing I've seen all quarantine. Oh, yeah, Dupes and I lost our minds. But there's another thing, by the way. A farmer was on the tractor, took a picture of himself seeding, and wrote us and said, I'm listening to it while seeding. It was up near Theodore, Saskatchewan. And I'm like, I said to my wife when I got home, this is game-changing stuff here right now. Farmers are sitting on the tractor where they would normally be listening to the Stanley Cup playoffs on the radio, and they're listening, not watching, to a damn computer simulation of a junior hockey game.
Amazing.
This makes you wonder how much things will change back when the pandemic lifts.
Yeah.
So, to Bettman, you think they'll be back, and I think they'll be back, too. I do. Point five, I do want to talk a little bit about social distancing sports, because who knows how long this is going to last. This morning on ESPN, the pundits were saying, this is a very optimistic day. The NBA owners, the Major League Baseball owners, this is a very optimistic day. We might get back ahead of schedule. And I'm like, well, not a lot has changed today from yesterday or even the day before. Really? Fauci's still saying, no soup for you. He was kind of dragged through the coals last night, though. By Senator Rand Paul going, with all due respect, Dr. Fauci, you're not the be-all and the end-all. He's like, I never said that I was. So that stuff's starting to come out. Did you see any of that?
Oh, yeah. And then I've seen the subsequent replies, right? I mean, all of us experts that have been, following this and on top of this for 10 weeks seem to think that we know more than Dr. Fauci, who's been covering this his whole entire life.
I'm just saying guys are starting to come after Fauci, and I'm talking about in the form of U.S. senators.
Yeah.
And those guys are ass kickers. So it's just hell is being wreaked. I mean, it's bad enough up here. Down there, it's worse.
Yeah.
So my point being, if they continue to listen to Dr. Fauci and we just stay at home for 24 months, which is what he wants, what social distancing sports could happen? We've talked about golf, of course.
Yeah.
And I've got two tee times lined up later on in the week, by the way. But curling, this was pretty cool when Catlin Schneider was in here yesterday and dropped off his Tim Hortons Breyer jersey. And we all put our thinking caps on because unlike other pro sports, which curling's a pro sport, they were interested in our opinion. Because they were talking about raising sponsorship dollars and how the money that Team Cooey brings in sponsorship would curl your hair. And he's like, well, all us younger teams want to get to that level. And I talked about, well, there's a lot of guys with planes, a lot of rich guys that would like to help you out. And I know these guys. Well, Brandt, for instance, has two planes and they sponsor Cooey. So at the end of the day, if they wanted to fly around Team Cooey, we got guys that I know that would fly around Team Dunstone.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's, can you curl amid social distancing? I think so.
I would think so. There's ways to make that happen. Stand separate sides of the ice, you know, those types of things. It's the, you know, touching of the rocks. But I mean, all it takes is, you know, when they spin the rock around, to wipe it down while you're doing it and you're good to go.
Curling should be easy.
Yeah.
And another one, point six here, is somebody wrote in yesterday, and you understand, when we're live on the air, it's hard to get to your questions. It actually kind of takes me 24 hours to think about your questions, come up with a bit of an answer, and then I'll address it the next day if I have to. Guy wrote in yesterday and said, how can Canada West play football in a five-game schedule, but the CFL can't? It's a good question. And there are no dumb questions, as I say.
Yep.
You're smart right. for asking it. However, we're two guys that are pretty heavily involved in Canada West, going to be even more this year, but have been around it a long time. And with all due respect, social distancing, playing in empty stadiums is not uncommon for university football. So there's that. As far as spacing out fans, that's not a big deal. I'm watching, again, on ESPN, they're saying Joe Burrow, the number one overall pick this year out of LSU by the Bengals, at least the last 2 years of his collegiate career, he was taking all of his classes online. Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So you're hearing the Canadian universities aren't going to be open in the fall. That's some of the reports that I've heard.
They're preparing for online classes.
Right. So if they're staying home and studying online, I got a diploma online. I've done it. It works real well.
Yeah. University of Phoenix is still kicking ass.
Still kicking ass. $14,000 per year tuition, but that's another thing. trust me, I looked into it. But if the student athletes are going to take their classes online and it's safe for them to play, it's a completely different ball game than the Canadian Football League. It's apples and oranges. Great question, because you're talking about the same sport, same rules by and large. How come they can play but the other can't? But you're talking about what I just said. Empty stadiums, not a problem. Taking classes online. I'm guessing. I don't even know. I haven't talked to Canada West, but that was the way I would think they would look at
it. They're not a gate-driven league.
Right.
I mean, they're not professional organizations that need to make money. Now, if you have 5,000 people in there, $20 a ticket, right? I mean, that's no small change. The money helps big time with the travel and everything. But, you know, five games, you're going to play each team once. That's key. You're traveling. The kids aren't there going to class and interacting with 18,000 people on a daily basis on a campus. Just the football team. You go back and forth. That's manageable. It's manageable. And then with hockey, you know, they're talking about a 20-game season for hockey. I think they play 48 typically, but they're talking about playing within your province, the Huskies and the Rams, and the Alberta teams will play more, and then you only travel a little bit because you don't have some of that travel money that you would get from ticket sales. But yeah, it's so much easier to manage. There's not the big pressure to bring in a gate, to pay players, to do all of these things. The Canada West is in a really, really good spot. And they have television coverage, too. So the fans, the parents, and the relatives, and the family, and the friends that go to the games, they'll get their fix.
Casey Dulson writes in. He says, I love the Canada West football talk. I agree with you, Rod. Thank you, Casey. I mean, I've seen the football people say, if there is no CFL, but there is Canada West, these guys could become the biggest stars in the nation, maybe even on the continent. I'd go back to Stampede Wrestling in the 80s. You weren't even born yet. But Maka Singh, Duke Myers, which is where he gets his nickname from, yep. The Dynamite Kid, all those guys were worldwide stars because it aired in 52 countries. It wasn't even live, but it was all that we had in that time slot. This could be the 2020 version of that.
Huge.
If there's nothing else. Now, as far as Canada West football and previews and stuff, we'll get through that in the summer. We got lots of time. But as far as the CFL goes, I kind of feel like we've been ahead of the curve in a lot of ways. For instance, last week we had the poll question, should American CFL players receive federal aid? Whopping majority, close to 70% of our viewers said, yes, they should. But it was just yesterday that the MP, Peter Fregiscatos, says that they shouldn't. And the first guy to come after him was Mike Riley. And then there was like a litany of guys. And the point was, I'd like to think I'm pretty open-minded. I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, particularly the people in my house that are watching right now. But at least initially I thought no too, because I'm thinking it's the Canadian government, it's Americans, it doesn't seem like a fit. And then I was convinced, yes, these guys work in Canada. It's their sole source of income. As Mike Riley pointed out, he's paid taxes in this country for 10 years, potentially millions. His kids were born here. He spent countless hours of community service in Edmonton and BC. Why would he not be eligible for federal aid? And I'm thinking, I immediately checked the box, yes, and in favor of American players, but I had to be convinced. Is this MP open-minded enough? Or the standing committee, or just whatever Ottawa officials are going to make the case for the CFL or decide whether they get the money, are they that open-minded? Are they going to make a decision without examining all angles? Because that's scary.
I would hope that they would. I would think that they would look into this. And it won't apply. It's not a blanket statement. It won't apply to every American. I mean, there's Americans who will go down and work in the offseason, you know, in the States, or the guys who went down and played in the XFL. They wouldn't be eligible for funding. The Derek Dennises and the SJ Greens and those guys, they're now down in the States. They made their most recent paycheck down there. They're living down there. So I would assume that they would, you know, be applying for American programs. But the guys like Mike Riley or Bo Levi Mitchell, or the guys who are around here and they're spending their time here and they make their money here. And even some of the guys who are living in the States, like Cody Fajardo, who makes his, he's not down there working. Makes his money up here, does his speaking engagements up here. He is a working member of the Canadian economy. He should be eligible for sure.
Anonymous texter from the 550 writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, hi, the live stream is playing yesterday's show, which I warned the boys of before the show. I hope, oh, Clark tells me it's been fixed. I was just going to say, sit tight. That's why I wanted to put out the not the caveat, the disclaimer at the start of the show that we got some bugs here. If you notice, everything's new around here, so be patient. As long as I know that they're on it, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Which they will get on it, but maybe the guy jumped on the Facebook stream. But two, in the time we have left here, before we bring on Claire Hanna, I do think we need to start thinking about the next CFL. I'm not willing to spend a whole day on this, but it is a fun conversation. Because if you say they don't get any federal money, because you know Ottawa is saying all these other leagues are going to be lined up behind the CFL. They already think the Americans shouldn't get the money. Like, it's not looking good. So you're talking about a GoFundMe campaign, which the whole world donated to the Humboldt Broncos, and that was still $15 million. Thanks to all that donated.
15.
1-5. Wow. That's not going to get you too far in the sea. We're talking a lot of money is going to need to be raised in this country or on this planet if enough people care to save the CFL. So let's say that happens and we do the telethons and we raise enough money and it continues. You're going to have to go to a situation where quarterbacks, like the XFL, nobody had a problem that the quarterback signed for $500,000 per player. Everybody else signed for $75,000. That was a socialist communist setup. Nobody cared. That's what it's going to have to be in the CFL. And we can't have commissioner making $500,000, $750,000, or $1 million a year. I've heard it's $1 million that Ambrosi makes. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the rumor. We can't have team presidents making $500,000. We can't have general managers, I'm sorry, making $350,000 a year. It's going to have to be finite set amounts. Set your salary cap accordingly and get your costs in line. Because the more people are finding out about CFL dollars and cents, the less they like the way it is right now.
You're absolutely right. And it's the one thing that you know, we've done really well in this country. You know, one of lots of things that we've done well. But in this whole pandemic, you know, with Justin Trudeau and the Canadian government coming out and saying, look, here's what we're going to do. And it's across the board. If you're not eligible for unemployment, it's $2,000 a month. Businesses, here's what you can get. Here are the set rules. So if they're going to give out $150 million, I think it's going to come down to that. Hey, look, we got to go through all of your books. If teams are getting this money, here's what a president gets. Here's what a general manager is going to get. Here's what we are allotting from this $150 million to all of these different organizations. And you're right, be the same across the board.
I don't know. It's a pro sports thing. I'm not sure it's necessarily a CFL thing, but there's a lot of I got mine thinking in the CFL. I think that is in all pro sports, but the thing is, in the big four, there's enough money to go around.
Yeah.
In the CFL, it isn't, so you kind of need to share a little more than they do, which reminds me, speaking of the big four, I'm calling up our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. This is the one that we actually mentioned on yesterday's show and finally posted today. In which league would you prefer to own a team? The NBA, MLB, NFL, or NHL? And we're into the hundreds of votes. And what do you think is leading?
NFL.
I would want the NFL. You wanted the NFL. Clark says he'd like to own a Major League Baseball team. But the NFL is leading. Vote on that, and we'll talk about the merits, the pros and cons throughout the program. On the way, Jermaine Franklin, Damon Allen, Henry Burris, and next, Claire Hanna of the CFL on TSN. We'll be back. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge, and we've increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of CTV's Claire Hanna, our poll question's fun. In which league would you prefer to own a team? NHL, NFL, MLB, NBA. But our social media director, Tyler Dacu, writes in. He says, I'm buying an NLL team. Low point of entry, big upside. I'd put my team in Vegas and call them the Gamblers. There are only four options, of course, so we put the big four. But I wouldn't mind owning a junior hockey team. John Ryan owns a minor league baseball team. I mean, they're all fun.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, chime in with that. We'll have some fun with it. Maybe Claire be thinking about it. You probably want to own a curling team. Sports update, Major League Baseball didn't include an economic proposal in its first presentation to the Players Union on starting its season. The two sides met electronically for about 3.5 hours yesterday. Baseball officials reportedly explained their view of the economics, science, and logistics of getting the season started. Cleveland Cavaliers forward Larry Nance thinks it's important the NBA crown a champion this season. Play is currently suspended, of course. Nance is cautiously optimistic the league will restart. Although Cleveland won't be competing for a title, Nance empathizes with players who may or may not get to finish what they started if action doesn't resume. And a 28-year-old sumo wrestler has died due to coronavirus. Japan's Sumo Association confirmed the death of the wrestler known as Tsubushi today due to multiple organ failure. He's reportedly the first sumo wrestler to succumb to the virus and among the youngest to die in Japan. The sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open and awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Lots to get into with CTV Regina's Claire Hanna, who also moonlights with the CFL on TSN as a sideline reporter. How are you doing, Claire?
I'm awesome. And I heard your poll question, and I'm going to throw out something completely different, Rod. I want to own a beach volleyball league. I want to start a league.
That would be fun.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Anything's on the table. Obviously, for the four options we had, I'd love to go far, you know, deeper than that. But why?
Four
why? Tell me why.
Program, hey? You can't add another. But no, I just think like every time the Olympics comes around, everybody is so into volleyball, both core and beach. But I just think there's this massive thirst for beach volleyball. There's the AVP tour in the States. But besides that, and then the FIVB, which is just all over the world, like there, I think there could be a legit tour. Let's start one in beach, like Kitts Beach in Vancouver, have it go to a couple nice beaches in Canada, and I know they exist. And yeah, I'll start the league.
By the way, you severely ruined yourself playing beach volleyball, or at least getting ready for beach volleyball. Let's tell that story.
You got to remind me? What? Yes, I did. I tore my ACL, but I also did some stuff to my meniscus, and I'm 5 months into the recovery, and I still can't run, but I've been biking like mad. I've got some pretty sweet scars on my knee, and I think it's going to be better than it was before, though. But it's going to be like a year till we get there, Rod. And wow. Then maybe you and Dupes want to hit the courts. I'll find a friend and we'll take you to town.
Well, again, I'm surprised you didn't pick a curling team, by the way. And we'll get into that. But where are you? What's your thoughts? I've seen your coverage and stuff. Your interview with Hobson was great. On the CFL in 2020, when this is over, what comes out? And what's your take on things?
Well, I've actually been trying to really crunch some of the numbers, and I'm mostly looking at the Riders situation, given that I'm a local reporter here, and looking at their financial statements from previous years, and we're waiting for this year's financial statements to come out, and I think that's going to give us an even better indication on how much the Riders had to spend for the Grey Cup. I know the city and the province have put in a lot of money, but where do the Riders stand financially on that one? And then bigger picture, when you've got this request for federal assistance from the Canadian government, like really, how realistic is it that the Canadian government's going to provide money? And I know this is a super polarized topic. Lots of people think, no, the CFL should just be treated like the employees, the owners or whoever should be treated like every other Canadian citizen that's been laid off. But then others think, well, no, they're in a different position. They've you know, signed these contracts, said they wouldn't search for work, and now they're committed. And then there's the American question, do the American players get money? Which I've been seeing a lot of tweets, and I've got to agree that Americans are almost like quasi-Canadians. They spend so much time up in Canada, they pay tax dollars, they are in the communities. And I think if you don't include them, then you're not really being fair to the CFL as a whole. But I realistically just don't think there's going to be a season. And I'm so optimistic about this kind of stuff, but I just don't think you're going to get to a position where you can see crowds of, like, we know what Mosaic Stadium looks like on Rider game day. You're not going to get there in September. I just think there's so much hesitation already. And then there's the question of opening the borders. It's such a can of worms.
Yeah. And those stadiums, not just CFL stadiums, arena stadiums all over the world, they're germ factories. Let's be honest. We've all been there. They are. Now, I was on a radio station in Hamilton last night. They said, what is the view in Western Canada of federal aid to the CFL? And I said, to be honest with you, not as positive as you'd think, even though they love the CFL out here. A lot of people are against it. Now, you're a BC girl originally, are you not?
Oh my gosh, I'm from everywhere. I've lived in every province.
But what do you consider your hometown?
I would say Calgary.
Okay, so just from your friends and family out there west of where we're at right now, what's their take on the CFL receiving federal aid?
Most of my friends have, I've even had DMs privately. They don't think the CFL should get financial aid. They just think that it's a business model that should improve, that shouldn't have to be sustained by federal assistance, that they should have developed their own ways of having more income. And I don't know if I agree with that, but I just think they bring up a point where when the country is in such a big issue financially, we're trying to get PPE, we're trying to get more healthcare, that money needs to be siphoned into those areas to try to really fight COVID and to help small businesses, and that this huge multinational business, they think that this business needs to find a better way to get income.
I know. Well, it's going to be up to the CFL to just make their case, because I already know of a lot of businesses and companies that have gone under in the last 2 months. I mean, where's their support? I totally get it. And I support it as a CFL guy. And frankly, as a sideline reporter, you must be pro CFL in this, I would think.
Yeah. And I try to look at it from a neutral standpoint as a journalist. And like, I miss sports so much. And also, in my job right now, I'm still kind of covering sports. I'm covering all these stories. I'm talking to the CFLPA. I'm talking to, you know, whenever we get a soundbite from Randy Ambrosi, or whenever we get to talk to Jeremy O'Day or Craig Reynolds. But they're all really sad stories, because it's usually, okay, it's getting postponed a little further. Okay, is this going to happen? Oh, no. How are we going to pay off Mosaic Stadium if you're not getting that ticket surplus being paid towards the city to pay off the province? Like, it's just sad stories around sports. And so it's really draining, but I miss sports. I want them to come back. I don't know if I'm pro CFL. I'm just looking at all the factors and I'm trying to just ingest all of it and figure out where we're going to go from here.
Well, frankly, you don't need to make a decision today, because it looks like we're a long ways from it coming back anyways. That's what I said about the baseball. I don't know if I'm on the owner's side or the player's side, but it doesn't matter today, because this isn't going to be sorted out anytime soon. And by the way, it's not a secret, we had Catlin Schneider here in the bunker yesterday. He brought his Tim Hortons Briar jersey. And I got a little sense of some sizzle between Saskatchewan's men's superpowers curling. I mean, that this has to come back, Claire. This is the sexiest story in Western Canada.
I know. It's a very, very polarized story for Saskatchewan curling. And it's so exciting for the province, because I think over the past 2 years, you've had two pretty good teams battling it out. You know, it was the old Team Myers and Team Dunstone. And now you've reshuffled these teams. And I think it's going to be super exciting. And I can just hear that Kirk's come in the door. And through all of this, on a neutral standpoint, like, you got a feel for Catlin Schneider. He got ousted. And I think it's so spicy how much he's going to bring to the game, because if I was in his position, I would want to bring it to Dunstone, and no doubt he will.
Yes. Well, just speak like Kirk's not there. Okay.
Impossible.
Impossible, I know. But we kind of went into this with Catlin, and we talked about curling in 2020 and the social distancing thing. We talked a lot about raising money and sponsorships. Like, we really got to get these guys back on the ice, because, man, is that going to be exciting.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go to CanWest U Sports Conference. They actually announced sort of their plan going forward next year, and there's going to be a lot of divisions. Besides football and hockey, most teams, so soccer, basketball, volleyball, are going to be really mostly competing within, for example, the Husky and Cougars case, within Saskatchewan and just Manitoba. So those are like bus leagues. They don't want to have them flying to save on financial costs, but they also just want to keep it tight. And I think that is something we might see in curling. Maybe we have, you know, the SAS curling tour becomes a big thing again. And or I've heard rumors that maybe things like the Grand Slams just involve Canadian teams. And so you wonder if it's just going to be a lot more condensed. But even for Team Dunstone, they can't just compete in Saskatchewan, because Matt Dunstone lives in Kelowna. So how do you bring him in? But I'm into this localized sport flair to start things up. I think it's just going to really make things juicier in Saskatchewan and in provincially.
That is absolutely awesome. We need to talk more, because I'm hearing same things, but from other leagues. So if we put our info together, we would dominate the world. All right, Claire, thank you. Say hey to Kirk and keep up the great work, please.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Good job. Stay safe. Claire Hanna from the CFL on TSN and CTV Regina. Very popular.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. The viewers.
I know.
When she comes on, TSN knows what they're doing there. But, you know, I love the localized, too. How did we get away from this stuff? Charity starts at home. There's that, which I'm a firm believer in. Sorry. But with the Western Hockey League, of a league that I follow, obviously, very closely, was in it for 17 years. They were talking not that long ago about having zero interconference play. West stays over there, East over here, and they don't play until the league final, i.e., the Pats don't make their West Coast trip ever again. The only time they'd play Portland is in the league final. Why? Costs. And I get it.
I get it.
I mean, and as a matter of fact, when I talked to the GMs, and not as much the owners, more the GMs, they said their revenues are stagnant, but our costs are escalating. Folks, how long could it continue? And that's just junior hockey. The Big Four, the pro sports is a whole other thing. And by the way, I don't care if the Spokane Chiefs don't come to town. When I understand why they're doing it, it's for survival. And that's what Claire's saying. So they played just within Saskatchewan, just within Alberta. What's wrong with that? That's another reason why I think sports has taken this in the grapes more than anybody else. It just has gotten out of control.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, it's really important. There's a couple of things, and they're going to kind of contradict each other. But it's really important not to make decisions for the health of your business solely based on money. I mean, when you pinch pennies just to pinch pennies, just to save expenses, you'll never grow. You'll never grow. And it's not a good situation. At the same time, you can't be irresponsible. Fiscal responsibility is very important. But for those in the game, the traditionalists who sit there and say, well, we got to play them. It's not the same. It's not the Western Hockey League if you don't play the Western, you know, conference as many times, the BC division a couple of times a year, and once a year, and a trip every second year to the US division. Well, meeting Portland in the league final, how much different would that be for the Regina Pats than meeting the Erie Otters in the Memorial Cup, who you've never seen all year? Is it not a similar situation? You're just making a bunch of smaller mini leagues, in a sense. And I don't see this as that being such a bad thing, especially if it means you can continue to play. And more so than Canada West, where in this province, there's just Regina and Saskatoon, you could even have provincial play. You move Swift Current back in, you can play a bunch of games with PA and Swift Current, Regina and Moose Jaw and Saskatoon and the Saskatchewan teams. And you could do the same thing in Alberta, same thing in BC, same thing in the US, and then slowly start to bring people together if that's the way it goes. There's lots of options, but you got to be willing to do something that's not the same way we've always done it.
Nelson writes in, says, when the Pats were in the league final, the WHL had to pony up to fly teams and staff from Regina to Seattle and back, to the point it changed to hosted what games. They've been doing that, Nelson, since at least the 1960s. When I dug back into history, that is not new. The WHL pays for the plane to send the teams back and forth.
And the depending on how far they are apart, they'll go 2-3-2, or they'll do 2-2-1-1-1, depending on the distance to travel.
Yeah. It goes back to our discussion earlier about what the new CFL is going to look like. Capped salaries. I mean, they have it on the football operations staff. It's got to go on the it's got to go on the business staff.
If you want the government to pay, then it's got to apply. I really believe that. If you want to continue to raise money and be a profitable organization, spend the money however you want. But if you want the government to hand it out, then be okay with them saying, look at 100 grand for a president, you know, 100 grand for a GM, whatever those numbers look like. It's what they got to be.
From Tyler, one of our viewers, he says, localization may even lead to renewed rivalries in the smaller leagues. What a novel concept. Craig in Regina writes in, teaching from home. Glad to be able to tune in. Cozy up, folks. We'll be doing this in the fall as well. That's from a teacher who's saying the schools won't be open come fall. So, yeah. Nobody really knows.
Feel free to stream this into the classrooms for 2 hours a day, and we'll educate the kids on the real.
No. Allow ourselves to infect those young minds. Please. Which, by the way, I'll say this. Jermaine Franklin ready? Is Frankie, he is? Okay. I'll say this. Last night, we're calling a video game. I had a blast. 1 month ago, I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. You guys convinced me to try it. Now I'm all in. And we got all these young, well, that's basically all young men, some women. There were some billet moms watching, writing in with their comments and stuff.
Yep.
It's an entirely new demographic to us. And that's why I laughed when we launched this Facebook Live show and there were people saying, oh, Rod's demographic is old white-haired Rider fans. That's not going to work. Oh, man, you're so stupid. Stick to what you know about, whatever that is. So now gaming. You think that's a big thing? I put hashtag gaming. You know how many times that's been hashtagged on Instagram? 39 million times. It's up there with the NFL. So it's an entirely new demographic and population of people. They get to hear our stories for the first time and still think we're funny. The people that are worn out, they're gone anyways.
I know.
This is great.
Can run all the old material like it's the first time.
It gets all new again. All my stories are new.
Yes.
Anyways, Lee Horton writes in, and Jermaine, pay attention because we're going to be picking your brain on all of this. Lee says, I agree to give the CFL financial help as long as it's for keeping them going. No to help the franchises that are already in financial problems. So many are already in financial problems. That's what the commissioner said. They lost up to $20 million combined last year, and that was deemed a good year. Okay, Frankie, you're in the shoot next. Get ready. Jermaine Franklin from TSN Calgary up next. Also today, Damon Allen and Henry Burris. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I don't know where DuPont is, but that's okay. Oh, there he is. He just ran on set. We're so fancy around here.
I know.
So structured.
You know when you go on the break to get a cup of coffee, but you realize you didn't turn the coffee pot on?
Oh!
That's a problem.
It's a sign of trauma.
Yes, I got water.
But you're very stressed, apparently. Just ahead of Jermaine Franklin, the SJHL has written in regarding their simulation, and they've written, Twitch has opened up our product to people in places like Ohio. The hashtag SJCanaltaSim has been a wonderful thing. And here's what I didn't know about gaming. I initially said no to calling this because I'm like, I don't know the teams. I don't know the players. I'll look like an idiot on there. Then I'm watching the guys that are calling it, and I'm like, you're not calling the games. You're just having fun and acting like goofballs. I can do that as well as anybody.
Yeah.
So then I'm all in, and it's been the greatest thing I've done in a long time. So thanks for waiting out there in Calgary, Jermaine Franklin, TSN Calgary. It's been a while. Well, we haven't, I don't think, checked in with you since the pandemic started. So how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's a lot longer than I anticipated, obviously, not seriously knowing the seriousness of what pandemic means, I guess. I thought maybe we'd be back in a few weeks or a month, but now here we are 2 months later, and it doesn't look like there's much of an end coming soon. So it's a grind for sure.
Unbelievable. Now, John Liu was with us yesterday. His hair is past his shoulders. Who's cutting your hair?
I'm cutting my hair. My daughter, she almost convinced me to let her start trimming it, but not yet. So yeah, I'm cutting my hair, and I actually let a little bit of scruff come in the last couple of days, but next time I'll shave for you, Roddy, that's for sure.
Hey, Noy, it looks great. Honestly, it looks great. I got so much to get to with you, Frankie. You know, I'm going to go off the board because we're going to get to the CFL. But your eloquence on Kobe Bryant's death, I think that was the last time that we spoke, actually. You had a wonderful monologue, almost a bio for him. The Last Dance, you're watching that on Netflix, of course, on the 90s Bulls. What have you liked about it?
There is nothing that I haven't liked about it. It's been amazing. And you always hear about the competitiveness of Michael Jordan and how he would do anything to win. But to get a little bit of the inside story of just how tough he was on his teammates, and for his teammates to come out and say straight up, yeah, he was a jerk. He was, you know what? I love the candidness as well. They're not afraid to use some of the tougher language to describe each other. I think it's been outstanding. Jordan, to me, of course, growing up in that time as well, I always thought he was the best ever. He wasn't necessarily my favorite. So I think that's special when you can say he is the best ever to play the game when your favorite guy was a Dominique Wilkins or a Magic Johnson, but you know the truth. I think that's something that is only confirmed in The Last Dance and the stories with how dealing with Dennis Rodman is getting in a fight with Steve Kerr. Like, it's been outstanding, and I love it.
Well, the best review I could give is this. A lot of times I'll watch TV and surf my phone, whether it's a game or whatever, any other Netflix show. I can't surf my phone when The Last Dance is on because you'll miss something. For the whole hour,
yeah, exactly.
You got to put your phone away because there'll be something there that you have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And to tell you the truth, Rod, when I first started watching it, the first episode, I didn't get more than 2.5 minutes in where I had to press pause. And I went upstairs and I got my kids and I said, this is going to be a family view, a family show. You have to see what greatness is all about. And it's been like, I don't know the last time I've sat in front of a TV with both my kids and my wife, and we're all watching the same thing together, besides the odd movie when you have a movie night. But when it comes to television, everybody has their own style, their own taste. Not this time. It's like, you guys are watching this and the kids are loving it as well. It's just been a treat to see what greatness on earth is like. And Michael Jordan and those Chicago Bulls, Scottie Pippen, it's unbelievable. And then you see the importance of the role players like Paxson, who made so many incredible shots at incredible times to help the Bulls team get over the edge. The battle with the Pistons, it's just been amazing. And of course, now in the later episodes, the death of his father and his gambling issues as well. It's just been such an outstanding inside look to see what it really was like and is like to be like Mike. And it wasn't all roses, that's for sure.
No, not at all. And the one line you just made me think of it when he goes, I don't want the ball in Bill Cartwright's hands with a game on the line. Jordan,
yeah,
said that
exactly.
Really early on. So it's very, there's a lot of honesty there. So to the CFL, being in Calgary, I've long said it's one of the greatest cities in the CFL. Doesn't get enough credit for their love for the Stampeders. Is there talk about the federal aid, whether there'll be a season? What are you hearing out there?
You know, it's serious, that's for sure. And I'm probably hearing the same thing you're hearing. When to see Ambrosi go up and say the state of the league and what it was in and the realities of it, it definitely hit home, because I'll tell you, I was one of the guys that saw the XFL claim bankruptcy, and I'm like, here we go again, another spring league, just not ready for it, and thinking that's great for the CFL. But then as the pandemic continued, and then Ambrosi coming out with the reality and the state of the league, that was an eye-opener. And the Stampeders, they're no different. Clearly, they're not one of the teams that were losing money, per se, but John Huffnagel, he goes by the book. He is very budget conscious. Other teams in the league have definitely benefited from the Stampeders letting go of their stars just a little bit earlier than normal, just to make sure that they stay on budget and in the books. And to know that last year was a good year, like you mentioned before the break, and they still lost $20 million. It's something. And the scary thing about that, let's be honest, Rod, it's the big cities, right? It's the Torontos, and recently now it's the Vancouver / BCs, and the Hamiltons, not necessarily a big city, but it's Montreal. It's the big cities that are in trouble, and if they need help, I'm all for giving it to them, that's for sure.
Good for you, which makes sense. I mean, we owe so much of what we've done and had in our careers to the Canadian Football League. By the way, what is your hometown, Frankie?
My hometown is Stouffville, Ontario, which is just under an hour north of Toronto.
Okay, well, the reason I ask is I don't know how much time you spend in the Maritimes, but when we talk about Moncton being a potential home for the Schooners and people say, no, it's too small. It's 140,000 people. Well, Regina's like 200,000, and I'm like, the most profitable team in the CFL resides in one of the smallest markets in North America for pro sports. So what? You want to go to a city with 5 million and get lost? But, I mean, that's the one thing about the CFL. It will come back, Jermaine, obviously. Even if it goes bankrupt, it will come back as the real CFL 2.0. But how do you think it'll look when it does?
That's a great question. And you, the statement you made about Moncton, it's true. Like, when it's a community team, the size of the actual city the team is in doesn't have a whole lot to do with the fact that the surrounding areas will still support the team. What it'll look like, I think it'll look the same. I think it'll look very similar. I think it'll look the same in a certain way. I don't think the CFL can afford to lose any of the big cities at all. Like Toronto, I know it's tough to say, but they're still a very important part of the CFL. Hopefully it will get to 10 teams eventually, but man, is this ever a test of I guess the fabric of the CFL, how strong it is. I agree with you. If it has to claim bankruptcy, it will come back in some shape, form, or fashion. And I believe it'll be very similar in that sense.
Anything else on your mind this morning, Jermaine?
Not too much. It's just an interesting time, you know, Rod. It's important that as a sports reporter, now we got to pay a lot more attention to the news. And that's been the adjustment for the last 8 weeks, making sure that you're on top of things in the news, the daily updates from the provincial health ministers like Dr. Hinshaw here in Alberta, as well as always got to pay attention when Jason Kenney is talking. Edmonton, of course, is one of the cities considered to be a hub for the NHL. So that's something to keep an eye on. And you just hope if and when sports do get back in the new normal or the new age, which would be sometime in the summer, probably no fans as a reporter. You hope that you're still part of those plans in terms of the media being able to cover these games if and when they happen. Always got to stress that. But that might not be the case. It might be it should be the bare minimum. And the question is, how many reporters, how many scribes are considered the bare minimum to cover these games? And then you might not be home for a month or 2 months on end. So do you really want to be part of that? Of course you do, sitting at home right now the way it is. But there's a lot to consider, a lot on the mind. And I'm just glad that we're both healthy and happy, and my family is healthy as well here in Cowtown.
Oh, we definitely have a lot to be grateful for. And I've really been thinking a lot about what the media will look like when we come out of this. You and I don't know, but it won't be the same. There's no doubt. You have great questions. By the way, one more story from producer Clark, because we can't have you on without asking about the Flames. He says, has Jermaine spoken to anyone from the Flames, and what is the vibe right now with the news trickling out of potential hub cities?
Yeah, the vibe that I've spoken to a lot of Flames, and they do want to come back in any shape, any way, shape, or form right now. But there are a lot of Flames all over the place. There's probably just about 8 guys in town. There's plenty of Flames in Europe, plenty of Flames in the States, and of course Ontario as well. But it's the States and Europe that you have to worry about if they were to come back. So sorry to be so long, but yes, every player that I've talked to wants to come back in some way, shape, or form. Every player that I've talked to said they will need at least a week or two to get back in shape. There have been a few players that have found some ice very recently, which is interesting because not everybody has the same, I guess they're not able to find ice. So not everybody is created equal when it comes to being able to train. So that'll be interesting to see how the NHL handles that. But yes, for sure, the Flames are one of the teams that believe they have what it takes to make the playoffs. They were in a playoff position no matter which way you shake it down, whether it's 68 games or current record, and the players are looking forward to hopefully fighting for that Stanley Cup.
Good stuff. Well, this has been an outstanding update, Jermaine. Thank you so much. Enjoy the finale of The Last Dance, and hopefully the next time we talk, they're back on the ice and field.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime, guys.
You bet. Stay safe. Jermaine Franklin out in Calgary. And here it comes. Go Flames. The viewers are writing in. Where's the Flames jersey? Here.
All right.
Here. Does that make you happy? Flames jersey. They're never very far. We got the Dinos helmet over there.
A little flavor.
We're trying to get along with Calgary. I'm not sure if it's gonna last, but why not?
I like the white shirt. The sweater, the TSN Nike sweater.
Oh, that was
so
hot.
So crisp. Almost looked like a lab coat, though, at first when I first saw them. It's really going to give us the update on...
looked hot.
...on the pandemic, but I like it.
Speaking of clothing, you've got the Deer Valley bunny hug on there.
Yeah.
I was going to wear mine today, and then my daughter said I look fat in it on the way out. She said that, yeah.
What?
She was just trying to help.
And I had a fear, actually, not till I was driving here, that I'm like... Wait a second. We got these yesterday. Rod's going to wear his today. We're going to be matching.
It's okay.
I assumed we would be, but
it would have been a uniform.
Yeah.
So no. She, and you know what? She's probably right. I need to lay off the pizza. But I mean, we started this pandemic by literally going out and supporting our sponsors and longtime sponsors and frankly paying for it. And now it's being dropped off at our house. What are you supposed to do? I'm just trying to be hospitable by eating the pizza that gets dropped off at our house.
It's just like birthday. It doesn't matter if you're dieting. It's bad luck to not have birthday cake on somebody's birthday when it's brought in. It's the same thing. If a pizza gets dropped off on your door, you don't just leave it. It's considered a sign that,
is it?
It's supposed to be there.
Yeah. So, hey, in hour one, so much to get to here. I got to tell you that my wife still is upset that I bought into that restaurant. I wasn't the sole owner there, but I can tell you what it did for me to learn business is the same as purchasing a degree, maybe even a master's degree for how much money I lost on it. But I learned a lot. Or dealing with the construction trade, which is another thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of businesses, contractors and so forth that go out of business, declare bankruptcy and absolves them from paying their bills, and then start up right away with their next company. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they're able to do it, but it happens all the time. That's what Jermaine and I have been saying. The CFL itself as an entity may go bankrupt. They'll still own the name CFL. So when it comes back as another corporation, it'll still be the CFL.
Yeah.
And the owners that want in will get in. Those that walked away that have returned their keys right now in this scenario won't get back in. They probably don't want to be back in. But you're going to have existing teams. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are going to remain. They're going to play in the stadium. If they're not playing in 2020, it's because of the pandemic, not because they went bankrupt. It's not going to happen anyways. This could happen as early as 2021. Truth. Laval has the stadium ready to rock and roll. This would be the time that Quebec City, I don't think Kelowna has the stadium. You might be able to get by with Griffith Stadium. What's it hold? 9,000 with additional seating?
Yeah.
So this is, yeah, the CFL might fold, but it's not going away for everybody.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. It's not going away forever.
No, it's absolutely not.
Jeff in Calgary, there's no better education than real experience. Oh, I agree. I agree. Don't even get me going on marketing degrees, business degrees, journalism degrees, Sorry, Alan the intern. And until you live it, you know. But anyways, Korean baseball.
What? I get so excited when you start talking about Korean baseball. I don't know.
I think everybody does. And what I love is that I'm getting tweeted at by people across the country, across the continent, that know I'm into Korean baseball. And this show is into Korean baseball.
Yeah.
So last night, here's your results. Your Eagles lost 4-3 to the Tigers. Nobody with this show has claimed the Tigers yet, but your team lost. Jordan, your team and my team suck. Director Jordan, the Wiz lost again. 5-4 to the Dinos. Clark, your Bears lost last night, 10-9 to the Giants. Brady in Saskatoon, he's claimed the Giants as his team.
Okay.
Director of scouting, Craig Smith, his Twins mollywopped my Wyverns 14-2 last night. It was an embarrassing night for the Wyverns.
Oh, the
manager made him push the bus home. They used to actually do that, you know.
I'm not surprised. Especially in Korea.
The Lions beat the Heroes 5-0. That's Justin Dunk's team's the Heroes. They lost them 5-0. So the Heroes are the new league leader, 6-1. The Giants are 5-1 along with the Dinos. And Jordan and my teams, the Wiz and the Wyverns, they're 1-5. I think we've officially been eliminated from playoff contention already. John Ohm in Winnipeg writes in, he says, when will the Wiz win a game? Question of the day. But the Big Donger went deep last night for his league-leading fourth home run of the season. Dong Min Han of my Wyverns. So he's having himself a hell of a year.
Wins don't matter that much when he can clean up at the after party after hitting home runs.
The Big Donger, Dong Min Han. His fourth round tripper. Randy in Cochrane wants to know if the KBO needs a good Whiz to survive. You know, the CFL needs the Argos to be good.
Yeah.
Why do I care so much? Can we get some merch? By the way, we're going to have to bring it on Damon Allen and Henry Burris next hour. But a Wyvern is, if you ever go into like a Korean barbecue place, which I have, Cliffy D. Pine took me for Korean barbecue in Montreal. It was amazing. A Wyvern is those dragons. They call them legendary dragons with the tail that has a diamond on the end of it. That's a Wyvern.
Oh, wow.
We already knew what they were. We have known our whole lives. We just didn't know they had a name.
Yeah.
So everybody's excited about Dong Min Han, the Big Donger, going yard for the Wyverns last night. By the way, Jose Fernandez of Clark's Bears continues to lead the league in average. He's at 577. And we have a new RBI leader in Korean baseball. The Bears' Jae-Won Kim has 12 RBIs in a week. So I get tingles when I open up my laptop in the morning and I click my bookmarks, which is the Korean Baseball Organization website.
Yeah.
Anybody who builds websites, they could use some help with
help
their website.
Maybe we need, well, no, that never mind.
Okay. We'll break. John Thomas Moore writes in, one of our viewers, and he says, I am a Tiger supporter, as that was our name when I coached at Thompson School. They were called the Thompson Tigers. I encourage you all to pick a team and follow along. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Facebook. Pick a team. Heroes, Giants, Dinos, Wyverns, Wiz, Bears, Twins, Eagles. It's fun.
It's great.
What the hell else you got to do?
Exactly.
Hour two coming up of the Rod Peterson Show. It's Canada's morning sports talk show. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can.
Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.